from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Hey, happy Wednesday, everybody. Happy hump day, everybody. Jacob Albrecht here alongside Paul Savage celebrating Hawaiian Shirt Week. I forgot my or Hawaiian Week. I don't know if it's Hawaiian Shirt Day. I'm a big advocate of Hawaiian shirts, Paul. I apologize. Maybe I'll go find one here.
All right. I got a question real quick about Hawaiian shirts. Top button, buttoned.
Absolutely not. No.
Not.
Let it hang out. You're in Hawaii. The whole point of the Hawaiian shirt is a party, Paul. Why would you button up that top button?
Well, when you talk to me, do you really want to utter the words, let it all hang out? Do you
just let
really
it all hang out?
Let it all
If you're going to vibe out with a Hawaiian shirt, you cannot be afraid. There's nothing that tells me somebody is not afraid of a good time,
all right,
like a good Hawaiian shirt. Get that. Whoa. Here we go. Family program. Let it go, Paul. Let it go. We'll be fine.
Oh, freedom.
There you go. If you're watching the video stream, you can see Paul's Hawaiian. I forgot it's Hawaii week or something like that. I'll have to go find a Hawaiian to celebrate with you, Paul, here during the break.
Well, thank you.
It is. Paul is in for Tommy Kester today. I know Tommy's a big advocate of Hawaiian shirts as well. Jad Chambers is producing. Jad's got the IHOP hotline for you, 869-1240. It's brought to you by IHOP. Excited to bring back its all-you-can-eat pancakes deal through September 15th. So check that out. We are glad to be with you today. Royals fans, hang in there. I know it's another frustrating night. We'll get into that and look ahead to today, the implications of it, any bigger picture issues to take away from it. We'll certainly dig full in. We'll check in on Chiefs camp. We will check in around the NFL. Big news as far as the rookie quarterbacks go yesterday, and troubling news if you're a Viking fan. We'll get into that as well a little bit. Paul's got some questions as we get ready for the college football season as it pertains to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So
I do.
We talked about this some yesterday with the AP poll in Kansas and Kansas State and their chances of getting in. So we'll continue that discussion with Paul today. Kevin Saul, Wichita State Athletic Director, joins us as well for his biweekly visit. Sort of a calm before the storm, a little bit for the Shockers. But we'll check in on things over there on campus at Wichita State. All kinds of good stuff to get into today. You can also leave us your video comments wherever it is that you're watching the show. If you are 12 News Connected, Facebook, YouTube, X, all kinds of ways to get in touch with the program. That way you can message us privately. All different things. We want to hear from you always. We appreciate your support of the show. And we will have two giveaways to show that appreciation today as well. A chance to go meet Tim Tebow. It's Friday, and a chance to win some HTO. Happy back to school for those kiddos and those parents sending kids back off to school. Maybe you're just driving to work after the drop-off line for the first time. We hope that it's a fantastic school year. We hope that all the teachers out there are ready for a fantastic school year. Our prayers out to you to be patient with these crazy kids at times. I don't know how teachers do it, but we appreciate it. That means, you know, high schools are back, which means the sports are back, Paul. It's an exciting time of the year. So good luck to all our teachers and administrators, coaches out there. And please understand how much we all appreciate the work that you do.
All right,
Paul, let's get into the Royals.
Okay. Well,
no bueno. Yesterday, a very tough loss, 13-3, really spiraled out of control on him. Another rough start for Seth Lugo, whose ERAs jumped, a half a run in the last month or so, 7 earned runs in 4 innings. The starters continue to falter a little bit, at least from where they were. The bullpen was terrible last night. Chris Stratton and Will Smith both knocked around. James MacArthur did have a scoreless inning. That's good to see as they try to ease him back in. But all around, Paul, that was not good. If you're a Wind Surge fan, Zebby Matthews, who lit it up here in Wichita for a little bit this year, he was the starter on the other side. He actually did a pretty good job. Maybe the one silver lining if you're a Wind Surge fan. But as far as the Royals goes, that was tough. And now you've lost 2 of 3, and now the doomsday scenario presents itself for a game today, which is being swept and losing 3 games in the standings to the Twins.
Yeah,
a team which is...
Oh.
A team that has dominated them in Minnesota, quite frankly. They get Cole Reagans on the mound to try to stop the bleeding for an afternoon game against a guy who's really struggled for Minnesota. Got to have it, Paul. We get to these a lot. It feels like on Wednesdays when you're on, you got to have it today, though. You cannot take that sweep. If you win the game, now you've taken one of three. Now you've lost a game in the standings to Minnesota in reality, right? You started a half game back. Now you're a game and a half back. No damage done. But man, if you go back 3.5 of them, Boston's now just a game back on your heels. Seattle, 2 games back. Those are likely the other two teams that you'll be battling with. That's going to be a tough pill to swallow for the Royals, who had their 3 aces, you might say, on the mound for this series, and they got to have it. Reagans has got to be great today. They have got to be better in the starting rotation.
Man, I'll tell you what, you have made the juices flow with the Royals for me today, because basically what you just said in about a minute and a half is what we've been talking about in the last 30 to 45 days? I mean, we have literally broken this thing down. Now, I must confess, I've been a little more macro than micro on this thing. I've been looking at the big picture. Yeah. And you want to know something? I look past the Twins. I'm going to confess to you that I looked past the Twins. I thought there'd be opportunity. See, I looked at the Twins as opportunity to gain, not to lose. And I don't know why I was so adamant in my thought process that this is what would happen. But when you look at the standings at this point, Jacob, you've got to worry a little bit. You know, that number of games behind the Guardians has grown just a little bit. Not a lot. Not a lot.
6 games.
But listen, we're in the middle of August. I mean, come on. I mean, we're past the middle of August. I mean, we're heading into September. We're running down into the last few weeks of this season. It'll be here before you know it. And you can't let these kind of things happen. You can't have these kind of series. So I guess with that being said, I have been certainly distraught watching the Royals this week. They've let a couple of games. I think we could make a case there's been a game or two that they've let go. I mean, no one ever lets them go, but it just so happens that's the way things happen. But, you know, you said it right. We hadn't been talking about the Red Sox very much. We've brought the Red Sox up over the course of the last month. We've brought them up.
Well, you had that series, that direct series, and they sort of managed it. Yeah. So, I mean, that's fine. They're going to be there, though, and so is Seattle/Houston.
That's right.
Like, those are the three teams. One of them, you know, Seattle or Houston, one of them will win the division. Right. But you really have to – it's two other teams. Basically, there will be, you know, probably 4 teams, Minnesota, Kansas City, Seattle/Houston, and Boston competing for two spots mm-hmm. is what you'll have.
That's right.
And so the Royals, you know, that's the competition. Again, the Guardians now back at six games out. I think you just sort of set that to the side. You'll play Royals play the Guardians head to head. And so maybe they make up ground in head to head meetings with the Guardians. But honestly, it's more about those wild card spots for me anyway, right now. And the Royals just have to just get right. I'm worried about Paul, bottom line, I'm worried about the rotation.
Okay. We've
been sort of, you know,
I got you.
Beating around the bush a little bit with how they have not looked as effective post All-Star break. They're all at innings thresholds they've never reached before, all of them. And they do not look as good. They just don't to me. And I don't know what fixes that. I don't know if you let them work through it. I don't know if you force days off with Alec Marsh and go to a six-man rotation. I don't know. You know, I don't know what the answer is, but the bottom line is for a while now, we're just not seeing the level of starting pitching we saw. Maybe it's short term. I don't want to panic about it by any means, but it is a problem now, I think, for the team to try to figure out how to win games when they don't have maybe the best, you know, three of the best 10 pitchers in the American League in the rotation. They're just not as sharp as they were earlier in the season right now.
Right. Now, you're not talking about Lugo or Riggins or
I am talking about those
you,
three.
You could yes. talk about, okay.
You're They've been struggling. By their own standard, they've been struggling.
Okay, by their own standard, okay. Because, I mean, obviously you've still got, I mean, Seth Lugo's, you know, 13-7. Come on now. I mean, he's
Paul, he was not good last night. Well, he was not good last night. Boy, and if you go and look at his starts, and I'm a Lugo guy, I love that story. I think he's been an awesome addition. He's given up in his last four starts, 6, 1, 4, and 7 runs, right? Like before that, he had given up 4 runs once or twice, it felt like all year. And you go back a little, but he just has not been as sharp. Now, what does that mean?
Yeah, though? What does it mean? What do you think it means?
If you look at his starts, you can go and he's had, you know, 4 out of his last 7 starts, let's call it, have not been very good. So I don't know if it means, but mixed in there, Paul, are 2 games. One was a complete game and one was an 8-inning game, which were fantastic, more like the old Lugo. So it's still in there. I don't know why these duds are coming. The beauty of his season is that the duds never really came earlier in the season. Mm. They weren't happening. And so you get to Singer. Singer gave up. What did Singer give up the other night? It was crazy. He was not good at all. And so it's just they're not as consistently awesome as they were before. Now, Singer, before he gave up 6 runs in 5 innings. He's given up Singer in his last 10 innings, his last two starts, 10 2/3 innings, Paul, has given up 18 hits. 18. So I it's just like, and Singer's been less consistent, certainly, than Lugo or even Reagan's. And Reagan's, I don't think, and I'm going to check this right now, hasn't been as afflicted by the total dud starts lately. He is not. But he's also, you know, he's seen his ERA since June 24th jump a quarter run. He was really good against Boston. He saved him in the Boston series. He's got to save him again today in the Minnesota series. Bottom line, he's got to save him again. He has to do it. He has to step up and be that ace, be that stopper, stop the bleeding. If they get a win today, this series, as bad as the first 2 games were, just not that, you know, not that big a deal, right?
Tolerable?
Like it's like, okay, we're good because you've lost only a game in the standings.
All right, yeah.
But I do think, you know, if they lose it, that's going to be a problem. But if they win it, but I don't think even if they win it and you're like, okay, sigh of relief, that you should ignore some troubling signs we've seen in the starting rotation.
And when you look at the overall situation with the Royals and as to what they've got coming up, you look at Minnesota. Of course, you know, getting the last game would be tremendous, would be wonderful. That's what they've got to do. But you know, you're the one guy that always tells me, you know, there's still plenty of time. Listen, we still got a month and a half left season. So I mean,
absolutely,
you know, we've seen these up and downs. Now, the one thing, Jacob, that you got to admit and understand is that this little slump has sort of been minimized several times. It's not been the way you see. Everybody's been going through one of these things, and everybody does, and you know that about baseball. So I seem to be a little less concerned than you. I am concerned, though, a win today, how important is that? Because what is that number of games behind, I'll say, let's just use it for a yardstick, the number of games behind Cleveland Guardians. What's that one number? What is that number behind? I say it's probably eight, and then you can probably kind of go done. We'll see where we're at. Right now it's six. Right now it's six.
You play, but they still play them six times.
They still play
three
them six
away,
times.
Three at home.
Good point.
So
good point. Good point.
I just am not terribly concerned about Cleveland because that'll probably have more to do with Cleveland than it will the Royals. Cleveland's going to have to stumble in order to make that happen.
I'm not just necessarily talking about catching Cleveland because I don't think that the Royals will be able to catch Cleveland. I'm talking about playing themselves into a playoff, which they're still out. And they were a lot closer, 10 days ago? So that's where we're at right now is how are the Royals going to do well today, obviously, but then those six games, you got a good point on those six games with the Guardians. How big are those? And I'm not saying that the Royals are going to make a run. Obviously the Royals aren't even playing nearly well enough to make a run to win the division. That's not the case. We want them to play well enough to get into the playoffs because, you know, then anything can happen. I mean, for guys' sakes, we're talking about one game in a lot of cases. So there you go. Let's see what happens. I think today is pivotal. There you go.
Pivotal.
Thank you, sir. But that's kind of where the Royals are right now. And so we'll see what happens. I'm still encouraged. I'm still sneaking peeks, although it was a lot harder to sneak peeks when the Olympics were on. So that, you know, my watching time was a little less limited with regards to the Royals. But, you know, we're back into the thing.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sweep of things. Let's get going. But the Royals have got to win today. This is, as you said, pretty.
Yeah, got to have it.
This is pretty important. This is a big win.
So Rick brings up this point, and it's an interesting one. The White Sox are the reason Kansas City is close. Kansas City's not close. Kansas City's in the playoffs if they started today. But they're 53-54 versus all teams other than Chicago. Interesting point, Rick, but I would tell you that the Twins are 12-1 against the White Sox. So they're a whole lot worse without Chicago too, right? Everybody's record is going to be better because of their games against the White Sox. And I haven't looked at what Boston or Seattle has done against the White Sox, but Minnesota's dominant. Everybody's beaten up on the White Sox. So if you take the White Sox away from anybody's schedule, they'll be significantly worse. The Royals have had the benefit of playing them a little more often, but again, you could take 12 wins and one loss away from the Twins record if you took out the White Sox too, and they would be significantly worse, and you'd have about the same situation. Royals would be about 2.5 games back of the Twins, and they'd be right in the mix of the wild card, probably, because right now Tampa's a game under 500, and they're very much still in the wild card race. So, yes, look, and the other point to that, and I like that point, Rick, a lot, because, you know, yes, the White Sox have padded the record, but that brings up a point that we've made all season long. If you're going to make the play, like, you have to beat bad teams. You have to beat up on bad teams in baseball. You have to. Teams that make it generally do, right? Because nobody outside of those special teams that go on to win 100-plus games beat up on the good teams. Everybody seems to be around 500 against good teams, and then you have to beat up on bad teams. We've said that forever. It's why the Royals have gone through some of these series this year that have been so frustrating, right? That's what really frustrated us. If you go back, for instance, and look at, like, the Cubs series was annoying, although I wouldn't say they're a bad team by any means, but losing 2 out of 3 in Colorado was annoying if you're a Royals fan. Getting swept by Texas when they had all the injuries, losing 2 or 3 in Oakland back when they had that really rough stretch. Like, those are the things that you look back on as we have to be better against bad teams. And for whatever reason, Kansas City cannot win games lately in Minnesota. I mean, it has been tragically bad in Minnesota for the Royals just this year. They had that 4-game set in Minnesota earlier in the year. They lost 3 of 4. You go back, and it's been like, don't quote me on the number. Ted has been talking about it in his updates throughout the week, but they're like, Paul, they're like 2-16, 2-17 over the last few years in Minnesota. They have just really struggled there. They've got to win this game today. They got to continue to beat up on bad teams. To Rick's point, that's a part of it. And they don't have a ton of them left on the schedule. They just don't. Like, their schedule's pretty tough the rest of the way. So they got to be ready to get it done. After this game, they'll get a day off, and then they get 6 games against teams that are not in the upper echelon, Cincinnati and LA. So we'll see. You got to have it today. We'll have more on the game today with Cole Reagan specifically a little later in the show. But Royals fans, let us know what you think. The IHOP hotline is open, 869-1240. All this baseball coverage, by the way, presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at tmobile.com/switch. And as we take this break, and since we're talking about baseball, let's get you set up for our first giveaway. So it is a Tim Tebow event that we're highlighting here, but baseball is the theme because there's a celebrity softball game to help benefit Shepherd's Way. You can win a pair of tickets to the All-Ball Shepherd's Way fundraiser with Tim Tebow. That'll be August 16th and 17th at the Crown Uptown Theater. Shepherd's Way is a residential career development program committed to empowering young adults or adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities. Tim Tebow will be joined by local baseball legends, including Gene and Phil Stevenson, PJ Forbes, Mike Pelfrey, Nate Robertson, Garrett Gould, and more. All you have to do to win, here you go. Text the keyword Tim, T-I-M, to 20357. Message and data rates apply. The contest ends today at 11 a.m., so this is your last chance to win. Text the keyword Tim to 20357 for a chance to meet Tebow, get some signed memorabilia, and be a part of a really cool event. Good luck, everybody. We'll come back. More Sports Daily right after this.
KFH.
All right, welcome Welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Good luck, everybody, on that cool all-ball Shepherd's Way fundraiser. Last chance to win today. Text the keyword TIM to 20357. Tim Tebow event coming. You can win tickets to it. Good luck. As promised, I joined Paul in the Hawaiian-themed week here. I've got a closet full of great Hawaiians.
Oh, you look good, man. I'm telling you. You look really good.
You know, I gave you a hard time about, you know, kind of letting it all hang out. I just put it on over my other shirt. Please understand that when I'm in a Hawaiian, I'm not wearing an undershirt normally, Paul. I'm letting my four chest hairs just float in the wind with a good Hawaiian. So,
yeah,
you know, but in the spirit of it, I love Hawaii. I'm glad to see them rebuilding. We're big fans of Hawaii here in this home. And as much as my wife would like me to alter this, I am a big advocate of Hawaiian shirts and wear them frequently. Got a good collection building, Paul.
Good. Every man should have one. They're comfortable, aren't they?
Every man should have about six.
Yeah.
Jad, do you have a Hawaiian?
I believe I do. I don't think I've worn it in like 20 years, but I believe I have one.
Jad has a sweatshirt on right now. Here it is. It's going to be 102 degrees today.
It's a little chilly in the studio.
That's probably true. Yeah, that's probably true. Feels good, if you ask me, but anyway. By the way, so I'll go from Hawaiian shirts to sweatshirts. That's, you know, I don't switch around very much. I'll go from one to the other. Then a lot of sweatshirts in the winter. A lot of sweatshirts in the winter.
Paul Savage, style aficionado. If you need any advice, you can call up on the IHOP hotline, 869-1240. Speaking of style advice, Paul, I see you left a sticker on your hat. Yeah. Now, yeah. When I first started dating my wife, I don't even remember this. I got a hat and, you know, they have the sticker and I started to peel that sticker off and she was like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm taking the sticker off my hat. She's like, you don't take the sticker off of a hat. What are you talking about? You don't take the sticker off of a hat.
No.
And Herma, you leave those on there for some reason. I'm like, what are you like? And I had never heard that before, but I guess there's some style and I don't know. I see you have a sticker on your hat. Mm-hmm. I can't get those stickers off there fast enough. Why do you have a sticker on?
Well, that's because what all the kids do on my football team. I mean, they all got the stickers on their hats. And I thought, I don't even know why. Here's the deal. You know, call me a follower if you would like. But I see all these kids, they got all these stickers on their hats. They don't take them off. And I thought, well, if it's good enough for these kids to leave their sticker on their hat, it's good enough for me. So why? I don't know. You know something? We start football Monday. As you are well aware of, football, well, all sports in high school start on Monday. And I'm going to ask a couple of them. Why do I, and I'll phrase it like this, why do I have my sticker on my hat still? Why do I? And then I'll see what they say. I really don't know. All I know is that's what the cool kids do. And I am, if nothing else, cool.
That's true. That's true. I get all my style advice from Paul Savage.
Wait a minute. I might have something that sheds a little light on this.
Oh, do you, Jay? Okay, go.
Maybe just a little bit. See, I have a Sporting KC hat that I bought when I was up in Kansas City, Children's Mercy Park. I bought a hat, and it still has the sticker on it. I don't wear it very often, but it still has the sticker on it. But I didn't know that was a trend. So I couldn't have done it to try and be cool or for it to be whatever the same trend is with everybody because I had no idea it was a trend. The sticker is on that hat officially because I am lazy and never took it off.
I don't know. I think it's what's crazy to me is it never even dawned on me to leave the sticker. Like never crossed my mind. Like I get the hat, I take the sticker off. Just like I popped the tag off of something.
Well, are you not around young people, young men who would do? Are you not around these guys very much, or what?
Paul, I would tell you that the young people I'm around, I have very little style in common with. And I'm a little contrarian. If you're a follower in style, which I don't believe for one second, I would be the opposite. I don't know how to explain that.
Right.
I don't know how to explain.
Well,
that.
Let me tell you how you can figure this out. You have a wonderful operation called HTO, and
I could go ask the kids.
Go ask the kids. You're there all the time. I know you and your wife work hard on this business. It's a wonderful business. We all love what you do and your product you serve. But while you're there, you serve a lot of young people because I've been in those stores and I've seen the number of young people that come through. A lot of young youngsters buy your products. Ask a couple of them. Just say, you know, just curious, why do you have your sticker on your hat? See what they say. I'm curious myself. I don't know why I do it. All I know is most of the young men on my football team have the sticker on their hat. That's what they do. And sometimes it's underneath the bill, too. Don't forget about that. You know, it's not always on the top like this particular hat, but it's underneath as well. Just ask them. And I may ask a couple of my kids and just see what they say. Because I do not know why I have the sticker on my hat. All I know, that's what the cool kids do.
Okay. I'll take your word for it. Yesterday, Paul, on the show here, we talked about Kansas and Kansas State as it relates to their ranking in the AP top 25 and what that, you know, that look of, you know, sort of five Big 12 teams, all of them sort of 15 or later in both the polls, what it might look like in the college football playoff. We go to our 12 year this year, and you and I were talking before the show. And so the question became yesterday, like, what is the likelihood that the Big 12 can get two teams into this thing? Went back and looked, most years, two losses or fewer would get you in.
Right.
Right. Three, and there have been a couple of years where we're splitting hairs in the top 12.
Correct.
We've never paid a lot of attention to the top 12, of course, because only two or four teams have been in this thing. Mm-hmm. So now that we're looking at that, I went back and looked at it, and I just took since 2021, and it's, you know, usually two losses or fewer. Sometimes there have been occasions where a three-loss team would have been able to get in. I think the challenge for the Big 12 this year is, as you look at it top to bottom, how likely are two teams going to have two or fewer losses? I would say that's pretty unlikely. And so we presented a scenario. Like, the scenario I feel like for the Big 12 would be to have somebody run the table, let's say, or have one loss and then lose in the Big 12 championship game to a team that maybe has three or four losses, guaranteeing the Big 12 champion more or less gets in. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that it's that simple, but you'd have that, and then you'd have that team that had a really good regular season. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be with as good as the league is top to bottom. It's inevitable that they're going to get punished by the CFP rankings by that, because, you know, it's going to be tough to just run the gauntlet unbeaten in this league this year.
Right. And of course, the question comes up, I mean, how many SEC teams will probably get in? And there'll be a minimum of two. We know that, and we'll just have to see. You know, but there's other questions that I have. You know, something. One thing that we've gone this far, and I want to congratulate the committee for making the decision to go to 12 teams. That's certainly better than two and or four, isn't it? And listen, you and I are both old enough to remember the day. Do you remember when AP used to pick the national champion? I mean, there was a day, there was no play. It was bowl games, and then AP picked the champion. And that's crazy. But nowadays, we have a chance to play in. And I'm just thinking to myself, well, 12 is wonderful, but 16 would be so much better. I do have a problem with, at this late date in the season, giving the top four teams in America a week off to heal, to prepare, to rest, to do all the things that would bring back your, you know, a little bit of gusto, a little bit of health, a little bit a chance to heal on certain guys. You know, it seems unfair to me that you take the four best who don't need any help, by the way. They're all good enough that they can play through like everybody else has to do. And you'd go to 12 teams. Why not go to 16 teams? Now, I know somebody's going to say, "Well, that's too many games." Too many games for who? Everybody's going to play. If you advance, everybody's going
to. So you're saying go to 16 teams or 16 game schedules?
No, 16 teams. Because if you go to an 8-game schedule, then you're only talking about 8 teams in the playoff, and that would be unfair to a lot of teams. But I'm saying if you go to 16, it's basically the champion will play 4 games, if my math is right. Right now, the champions will play 3 games. One, but not everybody's going to play all 4 of those games. I mean, you know, there's teams going to be eliminated. There's only going to be 2 teams that play that 4th game. I think that's doable. I think that's manageable for those teams, particularly if you give them, like, 10 days and you play on a Monday after you're playing on a Saturday or whatever the case might be. I think that's manageable. My question is, what kind of intrinsic value does a week bye at the end of the season do for a football team? A lot of people might say, well, Savage, you know, they can get rusty in that week. Well, that's not the way it'll work, I can tell you that. The way it'll work is they heal up. A lot of nicks get healed. A week to prepare, a week to watch film, a week to rest, a week to put in some installs, whatever they need to do with regards to who they think they may be facing. It just seems unfair to me, Jacob, and 16 teams makes so much more sense to me. And now it's almost like like the NCAA tournament in a way. It's half. It's a quarter of the NCAA tournament. It's the Sweet 16. I don't have a problem with it. I think that's the way it should be. Where am I going wrong on this line of thought?
I don't mind the idea of 16. I'm also okay with testing the waters with 12 for now, just because 12 is going to be so much better than 4. I think ultimately it probably does go to 16, but I'm okay seeing it with 12. I'm okay with teams getting a bye because most likely they will have earned the bye. So if we just go back to last year, you would have had the bye week creating the problem of Florida State. You remember how Florida State got pinched last year and how they were punished for an injury, which was the stupidest thing ever.
Yeah, that was not. And by the way,
They would have had to play the first round. Whereas Michigan, Washington, Texas, and Alabama would have had a bye. So, yeah, I mean, if the same scenario presented itself this year that did last, we will cry foul for Florida State, certainly. At least they have a place in the playoffs. So that would be one thing I would say. You would get to the point where you're not trying to stack up Georgia and Ohio State's one loss to Texas and Alabama's one loss as far as a bye week goes. So yes, I do think generally speaking, getting to 16 will be better. But Paul, we have byes in the NFL. And it's okay. Like, it's fine. I think there has been, rumbling. It's just not going to be terrible to me. Not as egregious as not letting some of these teams in. If you go a little further, because you got to remember in the format. So if you took the top 12 last year, Oklahoma, who was ranked 12, would have missed because you put in the top next best ranked team, like the top non-CFP. And I don't know if Notre Dame counts as that. I don't think that they do, but Liberty would be that team if it's not Notre Dame. So you move them up. So you push everybody else down a spot. So what you would have had is a discussion if you were at 16, whereas last year, if you were at 12, it was, somebody of the two lost teams, Oregon, Missouri, Penn State, Ole Miss, and Oklahoma would have been squeezed by, I think it would have been Liberty.
Right.
So one of those teams. So you'll have the discussion at 12. You'll feel like somebody got squeezed. If you're an Oklahoma fan, you're upset, right? If you take it down to 16, Paul, guess what? Exact same thing happens. Somebody between LSU, Arizona, Louisville, Notre Dame, Iowa, and NC State, all with three losses, are going to get squeezed, and we would have the exact same discussion. Somebody out of that group, or one or two or three teams, are going to get screwed. The fan bases will feel like, and Liberty comes in. So I don't think ultimately the number makes all that much of a difference, whether you're at 12 or 16 or whatever, because there's always going to have to be a discussion, just like there is in college basketball when we have bubble teams, right? There's always going to be a discussion of those last handful of teams and stacking resumes that are nothing like one another because they don't play the same teams, right? So we're going to have that issue no matter how many teams they have. You could expand it to 34 and you would have the same issue, Paul.
Right, right. Look at the NCAA basketball tournament. Number 65, 66,
we
and
have
67.
We have that discussion every year.
The 65, 66, and 67 are all mad as you know what because they didn't get in the tournament, aren't they? And they
the same thing. Same thing will happen in football. Let's continue this and we can go to it. The bye week is a different part of it. But as far as getting the teams in, we're going to have this problem no matter how you expand it. But I'll tell you why I still think it's just leaps and bounds better than it was. When we return.
Good.
Sports Daily, 869-1240 is the IHOP hotline. You've got your giveaway to the All Ball Shepherd's Way fundraiser. That's a keyword Tim. A text to 20357. Message and data rate supply. Good luck there. We'll give away some HTO in the second hour. We got Kevin Saul coming in the second hour as well. It's all coming for you. Sports Daily continues right after this.
Seven five and 1240 KFH.
Welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. Glad to be with you on this Wednesday. Kevin Saul joins us in just a little bit.
Good.
Glad to have Kevin in. It's been about a month since we've talked to Kevin Saul, so we'll get all caught up on everything happening at Wichita State. Paul, we'll continue this discussion. We can take this into the second hour as well. So the 12-team playoff is coming. I love it. I think it's fine. I'm good to see it for a little while. And the reason for me that it is exponentially better than what we've had is because you'll get your conference champions into a playoff, mm-hmm. which is what we've always needed.
Right.
There is no way to solve in a 10-11 game regular season schedule the inherent problem that the teams don't play any of the same opponents. Right. So it's a fool's errand and always has been to me to try to put resumes up next to each other. It's guessing. No matter what you do, it's guessing. You can guess, you can theorize, you can hypothesize that one conference strength of schedule is significantly better than another. But again, there's not a lot of apples to apples to compare it to.
Right. Now, can I give you the Achilles heel of what I'm proposing? I'm still proposing it. Don't get me wrong.
16. You're still trying to go to 16.
I'd like to go to 16. But here's the Achilles heel, because obviously you're going to have 1 through 16 ranked, and then you're going to seed the thing. The first round is going to 1 versus 16, 2 versus 15. Much like the basketball tournament does, and we all understand how that works. Really good teams the first day, really bad teams the second day, who they play on the first round. And we all understand that. And every once in a while we have that upset. You won't have those kind of upsets in football. You won't have.
I don't think you will either. But remember when Boise State beat Oklahoma?
Well.
That's the easy one to point.
That was 25 years ago, for God's sakes. It was a long, long
time. I know.
But anyway, with that being said, you're going to have some pretty crappy matchups, 1 through 16, and there's not ever going to be any upsets. So maybe I'm barking up the wrong tree, and maybe it's okay. It'll work out okay. So with that being said, I still think that the 1 through 16, it's the week off that bothers me. It's that one week where somebody has the opportunity to heal up. And listen, just getting off your feet, resting, nobody's going to go out and knock heads and all that kind of stuff. It's going to be light workouts. It's a chance for a team to really, get focused and watch a lot of film, get a lot of preparation done. So that's my only thing. We're obviously going to always see, but every once in a while you'll have that Appalachian State who beats Michigan. What did Michigan they beat when Michigan was number one? I believe that was
yeah.
You're going to always, you may have that. You're going to have that every once in a while. And that's the fun part about playing these games. So that's my only reason why I think that's a wonderful thing. But, what we're doing now is so much better than what we were doing with regards to two teams or four teams or however you wanted to set up the playoffs the way they were. I think we all agree that four teams over the course of the last few years has been not satisfying to the point that we know that there are good teams that are being left out. And number 5 and 6 always had a reason, and they always made a compelling reason, at least as far as I was concerned. And so I guess we're off on the right path, and this is going to be a lot of fun. Listen, I think viewership is – I think they're going to stumble into this thing, and these 3 weeks – because that's what we're looking at, 3 weeks of football – or is it 4 weeks of football? 3 weeks of football. It's going to be like the college basketball tournament. The college basketball tournament is almost a holiday. Listen, I remember Kathy Buss. Remember Kathy Buss, who was longtime fixture at this radio station? She would take the first 2 days. She would actually take off and not come to work the first 2 days of the basketball tournament. That's what she did. She loved it so much, and she, that's the way this could end up being.
It's going to change. We will, and I say this all the time. In about 5 years, when the dust settles on all this, no matter where it lands with the expanded playoff, we're going to look back and feel robbed that it took us this long. And I know that there are. Did bury that flag in the sand of no, it waters down the regular season. There are people that still don't even want the four teams in, Paul. It just like there is nothing wrong with proving it. Most years, I agree. Those best teams, the cream will rise to the top. That's great. It's happening less and less with the transfer portal. And all you got to do is go prove it.
Right.
What if they're already so good, who cares if they go prove it?
Mm-hmm.
It'll make the regular season so much better for everybody else It's not even close. So much across the country, it'll make it better for every team, because every team now feels like they can get to the postseason.
That's right. I like it.
You know,
like
on August 14th.
Yep.
I don't know if it's 12 or 16. We can pick that. We can split those hairs in the second hour. When we return, we should be joined by Wichita State Athletic Director Kevin Saul. It's been a while, so we'll have that conversation for you. We'll also get into the latest from Chiefs camp. We will get into the J.J. McCarthy injury from yesterday, all coming in hour number two. Don't go away. Sports Daily, coming right back.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.